And lots of news developing today in the House impeachment inquiry. The former ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, is testifying on Capitol Hill. In her opening statement, Yovanovitch said the deputy secretary of state told her this spring that she was being removed because President Trump lost confidence in her. The deputy secretary also said that Yovanovitch had, quote, done nothing wrong. Her testimony comes after the White House blocked another diplomat from testifying earlier this week, but we're learning today that the U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, will now testify next Thursday. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis joins us now. She's on Capitol Hill. Sue, it's good to speak with you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And can you tell us more about what Yovanovitch has said, about why she was fired, and does it square with what the White House has said?
Well, a couple of things. She's testifying still on Capitol Hill. These are from prepared remarks. All of this is taking place in a closed-door session. But based on those remarks, Yovanovitch told Congress under oath that she was recalled to Washington in late April of this year. And she was told she was basically being taken off her post as the ambassador to the Ukraine. She says she was told it was not about her performance, that she had not done anything wrong, but it was, quote, a concerted campaign against me that had begun in the summer of 2018, that she was also the victim of a smear campaign of allegations that she was trying to undermine President Trump, all of which she said was not true. Of course, Yovanovitch, just to remind people, did come up in that July 25th phone call and in question between President Trump and the Ukraine President Zelensky, in which the president referred to her as, quote, bad news.
And so she's pointing out in this prepared statement that she was not disloyal to the president, as the administration has said that she was. Was there anything else that stuck out to you?
It did. You know, she did say that it was her understanding that people had urged her firing. One of the people she did single out was Rudy Giuliani. She said that she had never really met with Rudy Giuliani, but he was one of the players that was out there suggesting she had an anti-Trump bias. Mm. She resoundingly rejected those allegations today, said she had served under three presidents for 33 years at the State Department and had never taken any action to harm or help a political elected official. It is important to note, too, she had already been dismissed from her post by the time of that July 25th phone call. So she essentially told Congress, there's not much I can tell you about that. But she did also testify that she has never met Hunter Biden, Vice President Joe Biden's son, and that no one ever asked her to investigate anything involving the vice president's family or a Ukrainian oil company named Burisma in question here.
What do you make of the fact that she was even on Capitol Hill in the first place testifying, and now we're hearing that EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland will apparently be there next week after the White House said it wasn't going along with this inquiry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a broader statement being made about how the White House's efforts to block this inquiry may not ultimately be fully as successful as they'd like it to be. Sondland, the diplomat who was supposed to testify and has now said he'll come next week, has now facing a subpoena. So essentially, when he said no the first time, it was under he was coming up voluntarily and he didn't come up because under the guidance of the State Department, they told him not to come. Now that he's facing an actual subpoena from Congress, neither the White House nor the State Department has any legal right to tell him not to come. What we don't know is an open question is, will the White House try to claim any elements of executive privilege and try to limit his testimony before Congress? They cannot, in fact, block him from appearing. As for Yovanovitch, it's similar to the same idea. They may have advised her not to come, but without actually taking a legal action, there's nothing legally preventing these people from coming and talking to Congress.
I see. Well, there's another story that we're watching today. Federal appeals court is ruling that President Trump's accounting firm has to give Congress 8 years of financial records that were subpoenaed. What can you tell us about that? And is the House likely to see those documents anytime soon?
It's a major victory for Congress and for the Democratic majority. The Speaker's office and the House Oversight Committee have put out statements saying they expect to get those documents. The White House is likely to appeal. This could go all the way to the Supreme Court, so they may not get it in a timely fashion. But the courts, on the whole, have been rejecting the Trump administration's arguments that Congress has no right to this information. And the courts have essentially been saying that in its course of both legislating and oversight, these are fully constitutional requests, fully within the scope of House rules, and essentially ordering the Trump administration to hand it over.
This news cycle has been relentless this week, Sue.
You're telling me.
Yeah, right. So just briefly, what should we be looking for in the next couple of days?
Okay, so Congress has been gone for 2 weeks. So all of this has been happening in Washington without lawmakers here full time. They come back next week. I think one of the things we're really watching for is in time frame. Do Democrats feel like they have enough evidence and are going to move quickly and expeditiously on articles of impeachment? Or is this something that could go on for months and months or weeks and weeks?
Okay, let's make an appointment to have you on next week. NPR congressional correspondent Sue Davis, thanks so much.
You're welcome.